Just to be able to pull aside from life and to have fellowship with God. We said yesterday morning that it would be helpful if you could find a time and a place. I know this will be difficult for some of you, but I think if you really work at it, you can find a time in your schedule that you just give to cultivating your spiritual life, a time when you give God a chance to speak to you and you have a chance to speak to Him, a time and a place. I was reading an article by Dr. W.A. Criswell the other day in which he was indicating that he had talked to some of America's prominent ministers, and most every one of them have a certain place where they go to study, to be alone with God. He said he's been with several where it's been in the steeple of the church. Wherever we can go, just to be quiet and wait upon God. I feel like the first order of the day is to take time to read the Bible and let God speak to us. Someone asked me after the meeting yesterday, how much do you read? I read until I feel like I have a message from the Lord. It may be a few verses, it may be several chapters, but I keep reading till I seem to find something that speaks to my heart in a fresh and unique way. I also find it helpful to be feeding upon certain books that help me in my relationship with God. But after this time, when I've had my Bible reading and my other readings, I come to the experience of prayer. Prayer is the most important thing we can do as a Christian. Now, I don't say that lightly. I say that after years of struggle in my own experience, that prayer is the most important thing that you can do. S.D. Gordon once said, you can do no more than pray until you have prayed. And then you can do more than pray after you have prayed. I want us to get two verses that will be sort of our key for the morning. One is Jeremiah 33:3. That verse says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And another verse that I think is helpful is James 4:2. It says, ye have not because you ask not. Did you hear that verse? The Lord is saying, you have not because you ask not. Most of us are spiritual paupers because we have not learned how to ask God in prayer to pour out His blessings upon us. Now, what I want to discuss this morning and tomorrow morning is our own personal prayer life. I'm not talking about public prayer. I'm talking about our own personal communication with God. Now, when you communicate with God, it's a very personal thing, and we all go about it in our own personal way. So I hope in the discussion this morning that I will not leave with you the impression that it has to be a certain rigid system. I think there are some things that are vital in prayer, and I'm going to try to point out those things that are vital in prayer. I'm going to tell you how I usually go about it, but I change from time to time just to be sure that it's not in the routine. But we're talking about experiencing the presence of God in prayer. And you really don't structure that except in a very general way at the best. Now, I said we needed a place of prayer, a time of prayer, some aids in prayer, our Bible, our hymnal, our prayer notebook, which I'll discuss in just a few minutes. And let me suggest a fourth thing that you might need, and that's some scheme to start. I came across years ago a suggestion that if you remember the little word ACTS, A-C-T-S, that would be a framework upon which you could build your prayer life. And from that suggestion that I read in a book, I have worked on it through the years and I have developed my own impressions of how it ought to be done. Letting that be an acrostic in which we'll let A stand for affirming God's presence and adoration. C to stand for the confession part of prayer. T to stand for thanksgiving. S to stand for supplication. And we'll divide supplication up into two things. First, supplication for ourselves, which we call petition. Supplication for others, which we'll call intercession. And finally, S to stand for surrender. Now, as I say, this is a basic framework upon which you can build a personal relationship with God. I usually start with this A of affirming God's presence. But there are times when I come to the Lord in prayer, I'm so conscious of my sins, things that I've done wrong, that I have to have a time of confession before I ever start with anything else. So I'm not saying this is rigid, but at least I believe these are elements that we need in our personal prayer life. So we're going to let A then stand for affirming God's presence. Before we do anything else in prayer, we simply try to get our hearts and minds in tune with God. There's a verse in the Bible, Psalm 46:1. Maybe you ought to write that down. I'm going to give you two verses for this first part, affirming God's presence. Psalm 46:1 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So we don't start running into God's presence and saying, "Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other." We simply wait before Him. Be still and know that I am God. I never cease to marvel at that. Just a little gray and black box. And all you do
is drizzling at 57 degrees.
Get the weather forecast.
Dreisman has reportedly turned his back on a $1 million offer of a Canadian Football League Jeep.
Isn't that amazing? I'm an engineer. I can explain a little something about what's here. But here was this little black box sitting down on this rostrum. I picked it up and threw a switch. And what did I do? There was a station down the valley throwing out a signal, electric signal. And this little black box caught it and amplified it. Right now in this room, there are vibrations from Hong Kong and Tokyo, from Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. There are pictures in this room right now. And if I had a portable television, I could just flip it, and here you would see the picture from Chicago or New York or Los Angeles. It's here right now, but you need a little box that can get the picture out of the vibrations and make it a reality. To me, this is a vivid illustration of spiritual life. God is here. God is everywhere. But what we have to do is to get our little black box inside of us in tune with Him. And I remind you that His signals are much stronger and much more meaningful than any radio or television signal. What we have to do then, beloved, is to get our lives in tune with God. So this first verse says, be still and know that I am God. Get the receiver tuned into the right channel. Now, there's another verse that I want you to learn as we talk about affirming God's presence. That's Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31 says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. They that wait upon the Lord. These wonderful promises that God gives to us. If we'll wait, there'll come strength, there'll come power, there'll come everything that we need if we'll just wait before Him. Our family likes to go to the beach. We've gone to the beach every summer for years and years and years. I usually like to wait and go in August because I can anticipate it all summer long and then enjoy it just before the rush starts again. And usually by the time August comes along, I haven't been able to get out in the sun much. And when I get down to the beach that Monday morning, my skin's about that color. But I love that water so much, and I love just to get in that sand and just let it run between my toes so much that I'll get out there that first Monday, and my skin will change from that to a pretty lively red color by nightfall. Now, I'm sure there is a chemical explanation, a medical explanation, of how just being out in the sun 4 or 5 hours just unconsciously changes my skin from red to pink. Maybe you can explain it, medically or physically. By just exposing yourself to the sun, and your skin is changed. Friends, if day by day you will expose your soul to God, just wait before Him. He'll change you. He'll change you. So when we start talking about prayer, we're talking about not rushing into His presence, but we're talking about waiting upon God. They that wait upon God shall renew their strength. Now, we'll move on to another thing that this A can stand for, not only for affirming God's presence, but we'll let it stand for adoration. Now, I find this the most difficult part of my personal prayer life. I find it difficult because what adoration really is my soul going out to God. It's where I see God and try to express my praise to Him for who He is. Mighty God, everlasting Father, a little creature saying, oh God, how magnificent You are, how glorious You are. It's not thanking God for anything. We have a place for thanksgiving a little later on. But in adoration, it's just the creature relating himself to the Creator. The creature bowing down low before his Maker and saying, oh Lord, You are mighty God. And I say, I find this difficult to express. And for that reason, through the years I have tried to find prayers of adoration and have tried to collect those in my own prayer notebook. And that, of course, leads me to talk for a moment or two about your prayer notebook. For years, I had my prayer notebook divided into these sections, A, C, T, S. And when I would come upon a song or a prayer that was beautiful in expression for adoration, I would simply copy it and put it under my section of adoration. And through the years, I built up a number of good materials at this point. Then last year at this conference, I met Peter Lord, and Peter brought along some 2959 prayer notebooks, and he worked in that prayer notebook some things that I have found most helpful as I have used this last year, along with some other materials that I've collected through the years. In his 2959 prayer notebook, Peter Lord has a section for each day. Oh, there's a tab for Sunday, or a tab for Monday and Tuesday, and so forth. Now, in each of those sections, he, on the fly leaf, say of Monday, he has at least two pages of materials that he has collected over the years which express adoration. He evidently found the same problem I did. How do you say to God in a fresh, unique way every day, "Oh, how glorious you are. I praise your name, God, just for who you are"? So this 2959 prayer notebook is worth its price, if for no other reason than just to have these sections with his suggestions on how to express adoration. I noticed one thing I had interleaved here on Monday was the Apostles' Creed. I repeat the Apostles' Creed at least once a week. It just helps me to affirm what I believe. I have the Nicene Creed on another day as a part of my adoration. You take great hymns like, "How great thou art, how great thou art." That's praise, you see. And you just make your daily devotional time a time when you have your own little worship service, where your heart just goes out to God in praise and adoration. You take hymns like, "Joyful, joyful we adore thee." That's a tremendous hymn of praise. And if that speaks to you, type it out someplace and put it in here one of these days. You build up your own material. But it's so important that we learn how to worship and praise the Lord. Maybe you can think of a song that would be helpful. I was thinking last night, for example, when Ronnie led us in "Holy, Holy, Holy." Man, you can't beat that, as you said. That's just adoration. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Doesn't it talk something there about falling prostrate before Him? "All hail the power of Jesus' name." This is falling prostrate before Him. That's a great hymn of adoration. "All hail the power of Jesus' name." So I'm suggesting to you that we take some time to worship and praise the Lord. Do you know what the Presbyterian Catechism says is the chief aim of man? The Presbyterian Catechism says the chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what adoration is, glorifying God. What's going to be our chief occupation in heaven? It's going to be worship and praise, is it not? Let's just look into Revelation for a moment. And this, the reason I'm pointing this out is not only to tell you that someday this is what we'll be doing according to the Revelation, but these are some passages that you can put in your prayer notebook under adoration. Let's look up Revelation 5, verse 11 through 14. Revelation 5, 11 through 14. John said, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands." And what were they doing? They were singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Brother, that's praise. The people in heaven were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." And they were saying to Him, "He's worthy to receive wisdom and strength and honor and glory and riches and blessing." And notice verse 13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as under the sea, and them that are, and all them that are in them, I heard say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. Oh, praise God is what we're doing here. We're lifting our voice in adoration to the Lord. And that's what it says they're doing in heaven. They never get tired of praising God, even though they are now translated to that wonderful place. Look in Revelation 7, verse 9. John says, I beheld a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne, and on their faces worshipped God, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. I'm saying to you that the chief occupation, really, the ultimate occupation for us should be to praise God on earth, because that's going to be our chief occupation and glory in heaven. Adoration, then, is important. Now, I want to move on to look at this letter C. And we say C can stand for confession. Let me ask you a question. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he was in this glorious experience of worship and praise, what was his reaction? Didn't he say, woe is me? When he began to reflect upon the majesty of God in adoration, he became very conscious of his own sins and failures and shortcomings. And so that leads us naturally unto this point of confession. Surely, I think when you were conscious of that, then we ought to stop right there and get it straight and then move on to that. Like I believe I started out by saying this morning that many times I have to start with confession. And it could be this ought to be. I think what I'm trying to say to you as much as anything else, these ought to be the elements in prayer at least. And I've had that exactly same spirit, Susan, I really have, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And Isaiah simply, he had to worship the Lord, I guess, enough to become conscious of his failures at that moment. And maybe that's what happens to us. But this, let me say it one another two or three times. This is not the exact way, right? However, it meets your needs. And many times I have to start right here. Exactly so. Good. But this is a part that if we're not careful, we will overlook. Now, when it comes to confession, we need to be very honest with God. You know, it took me years to be honest with God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where I could really become conscious of it. The Lord knows everything in my life. I can't hide a thing from it. But it took me a long time to learn that. I was a preacher a long time before I learned that I couldn't hide anything from God, that he knew all about my life. He knew all those secret crevices. And when I came to the place where I could really get honest with God, it really helped me in my prayer time. Now, there's a verse here that I want you to get. I'm trying to give you some verses to hang on to each of these particular points. And I think 1 John 1:9 is very helpful at this point. We all know what that says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We commit our sins one by one, And we need to confess them one by one. Now, I've referred several times about my engineering background, and I simply have referred that just to say that in engineering, you think things through logically. That's one of the bases of engineering, try to work through a problem logically. And I guess I bring that over into my Christian experience. And I have lists for all kinds of things in my Christian walk. And in my prayer notebook, I have a list of areas where it's very easy for me to stumble and fall. And when I come to the confession time of my prayer life, I have that list before me. I have about 29 things on that list that I sort of use as a checklist. But then I read a book by Basilea Slink here some months ago, and I cannot tell you the name of that book to save my life. But it's a whole book on confession. And she has about 70 chapters in that book. Each chapter is on a sin. Did anybody recall the name of that book right offhand? Basilea Slink, this wonderful European writer. Anyway, I took her list, and I'm trying to work through that for my own life right now. Now, let's don't get hung up on the list, but I feel like the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me to list some of these things wherein I have a danger of falling. And, well, I had my list out here. I broke my list down into four parts. Sins against God, my own sins of temperament, sins against my fellow man, my sins of neglect. And I just sort of check through this every day or two as a part of my confession time. In other words, sins of temperament, I had such things as pride, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety, cowardice, jealousy, anger, bad temper, impatience. I have a lot of trouble with that. You see, as I review this list and I say, Holy Spirit, just speak to me, wherein have I failed my Lord? And many days I find I fail at most every one of these things. But you just don't get down on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But there needs to be a self-examination where the Holy Spirit can come and reveal to us where we have failed and where we can cleanse these things out of our lives. Sins against my fellow man. I have such things as unkind words, critical spirit, deceit, lack of forgiveness, hatred, grudges, failure to be honest and true in personal dealings, indifference to the needs of others. You see, when you begin really to let the Holy Spirit probe into your life and you begin to record some of these things in your prayer notebook, wherein you may have areas of failing, well, you'll be amazed to find out really where you stand with God. But the beautiful thing about all the area of confession is that God says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I get through sort of examining my life at this point, I just see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What kind of Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Just coming and just washing and flooding my life clean. I say, Lord Jesus, clean my mind, my emotions, my will. Just clean my spirit, just clean my body, and just let all of that old filth roll out. And I just picture my mind rolling all out from that fourth floor study on down to the gutter and on out to the river and down to the sea. Now, what does God say when we make confession? He says we are forgiven. Now, what does forgiveness really mean? Three things on the board that I have discovered through the years that have really helped me understand forgiveness.
removal of sin. The Lord says He will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. I gave you the wrong reference on that. I'm sorry, it's 103. I knew that wasn't right. Psalm 103:12. He says, He will remove His sins as far as the east is from the west. We had an evangelist in our church last spring that helped me understand that verse. When you talk about removing your sins as far as the east is from the west, think about this. If you get in an airplane and start east, where do you finally end up? You just keep going, don't you? You can go all the way around the world, always going east, right? Or if you start here and start west, where does west end? You go all the way around the globe, you can go all the way around the world going west all the time, right? You see, He completely removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And then there's another verse that really helped me when I was thinking through this business of forgiveness. That He not only removes our sins as far as the east and the west, He forgets. When I found Jeremiah 31:34, boy, that just blessed my life. Because that verse says that He remembers them no more. When we make that confession to God, God remembers those sins no more. I'm talking about forgiveness, what it is. Removal of the sin. It also means that it's remembered no more. And a third thing, well, just write this down. I won't put it on the board. And this is the most important part of forgiveness as far as I'm concerned. It's restoration. And put out beside that, if you want a verse, Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. Wasn't that what happened? When the prodigal came home and said, Father, I'm sorry, he was restored to fellowship. You see, our sins had cut us off from fellowship with God. But when we made confession, then God says, welcome home, child. It's forgiven. It's removed. It's forgotten. And so there needs to be a time in your prayer life when you make honest confession. You may want to find some prayers of confession. The Episcopal Prayer Book has a wonderful prayer of confession. There's some hymns that will help you that speak of confession and the washing. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you begin to collect materials on confession and put them in your prayer notebook. The next step is T, thanksgiving. Certainly there is a place for thanksgiving in prayer. Psalm 103 is just filled with thanksgiving. You're very familiar with that passage of Scripture, Psalm 103, where it talks about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, beginning with Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And you know, the old engineer comes out again. I've got me a Thanksgiving list. 25 or 30 things. And it starts right here. who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I tell you, when you come through this experience of confession and you realize that God has forgiven you and cleansed you and restored you, well, then you can just say, thank you, Lord, for washing me and cleansing me. And then the psalmist goes on and says, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who spares your life, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Why, these things just a part of my prayer list. I thank the Lord for sparing my life. I thank the Lord for my health and strength. I thank the Lord for my family. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And so the psalmist makes his list in Psalm 103. You might put down another reference here that would help you, and that's Philippians 4:6. It says, in everything give thanks. And then put down 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I think that's actually the verse that says, in everything give thanks. Both of them have the same idea of being thankful in your prayer. Let me read to you Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's never a time when you cannot look about life and see some things for which to give thanks. I don't care how desperate you are. I don't care how dark the situation. Miles was talking last night about Philippians 1. Here was Paul in jail. But as we know, as he pointed out last night, how many times in jail Paul was crying, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. He could still thank God. He said, in that first verse of the letter, he says, I thank God for every remembrance of you. He could always find something for which to give thanks. I think about the lady who was asked one day how she felt. She said, well, I don't feel too well. I've got a headache. But thank God I've still got a head to ache. You see, if you look about you, you can always find something for which to give thanks. And we need to cultivate the spirit of thankfulness. And beloved, we can't spend some time thanking the Lord in quiet time and then going out the rest of the day and grumble and complain. We need to cultivate this spirit of thanksgiving. Now, I think what I want us to do now is to stop with this observation that we may have spent 20 or 30 minutes in prayer, affirming God's presence in adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, and have never asked God for a thing. You see, too often I think we've thought of prayer simply just coming to God and asking Him for something, when prayer really is cultivating the presence of God for our lives. Now, we're going to see tomorrow that there is a place for asking for ourselves and asking for other people. But that comes after we have laid hold of His presence for our lives. Now, what I'd like for us to do is just to put our Bibles and notes and everything aside and spend a few minutes in quiet time. We'll assume now that we've had our scripture lesson, that we have let the Lord speak to us through His Word. And really, we have had 6 or 8 wonderful passages of Scripture this morning in which I think the Lord has spoken to us. Those verses on adoration, where the angels were just praising God. Those verses that spoke to us on confession and how we need to be honest before God. Those verses where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. So God has given us His Word for the day. And now we're going to spend some time in prayer. I just want us to be very quiet and still for a few moments and just think about the little radio and how that little black box, when it was tuned to the right station, picked up a signal from afar off. And how we're just going to be still now and just wait upon God for a few moments and just say, Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. You recall that was Samuel's experience. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So let's just be still and reckon upon the presence of God. Let me give you two other verses as we start this part. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. So if we believe the Bible to be true at all, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is in this place, wanting to get in tune with your spirit and have fellowship and communion with you. Be still and know that I am God.